Our series on the Utah Priorities Project continues with a look at partisan politics. Salt Lake County mayoral candidates Ben McAdams and Mark Crockett debate arts and parks. And Cache County looks at eliminating emissions testing. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Wednesday, October 3rd. I'm Brian Grimmett.
I'm Terry Gilday. The increasing polarization of the political process in Utah and across the nation is the next issue identified by the Utah Foundation as part of its Utah Priorities Project. In their survey, voters ranked partisan politics the eighth most important concern. KUER's Dan Bomas looks at the issue.
A former president who also served for many years in Congress once said, "Truth is the glue that holds government together. Compromise is the oil that makes government go." Over the past several years, it has seemed at times that government was pretty low on that oil, about ready to seize up. That high level of partisan conflict is new on the Utah Priorities Project of issues identified by Utah voters. Utah Foundation researcher Morgan Lyon Cotty says Congress is the area voters look at first as an example of how partisan bickering is gumming up the works.
There's actually statistics and data that back this up. We see that the difference between the two major parties in Congress, that gap between their two average ideologies, is larger than it has been at any time since Reconstruction.
And how do you measure that?
There's a couple of political scientists that have figured out a way to measure the ideology of each member of Congress. And each year they pull all the Republicans and they pull all the Democrats and they get that average score. And we see that the difference between those two, the average ideology of Republicans and the average of Democrats, is pretty wide right now.
A Utah Foundation report released last year also suggested Utah's unique caucus and convention system for nominating candidates may be discouraging some voters and keeping them away from the polls. Utah's voter turnout has dropped from 67% in 1992 to just 50% in 2008. Kirk Jowers, the director of the Hinckley Institute of Politics at the University of Utah, said on KUER's Radio West in December that the system gives convention delegates a lot of power. That means candidates spend a lot of their time focusing on a relatively small group of voters who often hold views far out of the mainstream.
We focus all of this attention on these very few delegates, and if they can get over 60% there, they don't have to face a primary. And the way our state is set up demographically and yet in redistricting and everything else, there are very few general elections that truly matter.
The battle over drawing new legislative districts and other political boundaries in Utah comes up every 10 years after the census. The Utah legislature had that job, and Democrats charged the Republican majority was drawing maps to suit themselves and making important decisions behind closed doors. That's led to a battle over access to the public records of those deliberations. But the chairman of Utah's Republican Party, Thomas Wright, says that's mostly political theater.
I think that what gets reported in the media and how that is being reported is greatly damaging voter turnout in Utah. And I think it's sad because only two Democrats voted against those maps, and the Democrats were heavily involved in drawing those lines.
Wright says Republicans and Democrats made a serious effort to increase participation in this year's party caucuses, and they did get significantly higher attendance this year. Right now, he says the party is working hard to increase voter turnout. The Utah Foundation research report on strident partisan politics as an issue in this year's election is available on the website at utahfoundation.org. Oh, and that former president who called compromise the oil of government? That was Gerald Ford, who served as minority leader in the U.S. House of Representatives for 8 years. Tomorrow, Utah voters rank the environment and specifically air quality seventh on the list of the issues of greatest concern. I'm Dan Bomas, KUER News.
Salt Lake County mayoral candidates Ben McAdams and Mark Crockett squared off in a debate Tuesday during a Salt Lake Rotary Club meeting at the Little America Hotel. KUER's Whitney Evans reports.
Both candidates say they'll support the renewal of Salt Lake County Zoo Arts and Parks Tax in 2014, but GOP candidate Mark Crockett says following several years of new recreation projects in the county, it's time to take a second look.
With $200 million in deferred maintenance, meaning stuff that needs fixing that we can't afford to fix, maybe instead of having it be for building new things, maybe we want to take a little bit of that off and start putting it to maintaining the great things that we already have.
Both candidates have concerns about the economic impacts the new Broadway-style theater will have on surrounding venues. Democrat Ben McAdams says finding balance will be important.
I want to make sure that we use people who are buying their first time seeing a live performance to go to Wicked, that we entice them to buy a season pass to the Pioneer Memorial.
Crockett says there is no doubt the theater will negatively impact surrounding venues, and it's likely a good number of those Broadway tickets will go unsold. The candidates' next scheduled debate is Monday, October 8th at the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. Whitney Evans, KUER News.
Democratic Congressman Jim Matheson and his Republican challenger Mia Love met yesterday in their last scheduled debate before Election Day. The two squared off on the Doug Wright Show on KSL Radio. The economy, health care, gay marriage, and education were among the topics discussed. Mia Love favors focusing money and decision-making locally when it comes to education. She said she would favor dismantling the U.S. Department of Education.
I believe that limited government doesn't mean that you cut everything. It just means everything's provided at the appropriate level. I think we can do a better job here in the state of Utah. That's the difference, again, between myself and my opponent. He believes a better job in Washington. I believe we can do a better job in the state of Utah.
Matheson said eliminating the Department of Education could cause some short and long-term problems.
Curriculum decisions, administrative functions in Utah are decided here in Utah. But my opponent really hasn't done her homework on what the Department of Education really does. She is for eliminating it altogether. How we're going to fill the gap, I assume it's by raising taxes in Utah.
A poll released Monday by KSL and the Deseret News shows Love now leading Matheson by 6 points. A similar poll taken in June had put Matheson ahead by more than a dozen points.
Jack Gallivan, the former publisher of the Salt Lake Tribune, died yesterday at the age of 97. Gallivan is being remembered as someone who was hugely influential in shaping Salt Lake City, strongly supporting the Winter Olympics, professional sports, and downtown redevelopment. The downtown plaza at 2nd South and Main Street was named in his honor. A U.S. Border Patrol agent murdered yesterday in Arizona grew up in Provo. Nicholas Ivey had worked as an emergency medical technician before he joined the Border Patrol 3 years ago. He was 30 years old. Ivy died yesterday in a shootout near the border with Mexico. He was married with 2 children. The city of South Salt Lake will be able to preserve the former Granite High School campus. A new public-private partnership will turn the building into a film and television production studio. The agreement between the Woodbury Corporation, Redmond Movies and Stories, and the City of South Salt Lake will preserve the current structure while adding more than 90,000 square feet of new office and retail space, including a new soundstage. The deal comes a year after a bond initiative that would have allowed the city to purchase the campus failed to pass. South Salt Lake City Mayor and Granite High graduate Cherie Wood says, after many disappointments, she's glad the campus has a new purpose that will keep it intact.
When it's gone, it's gone. You don't get those historical buildings back. And I think that if that's a role that we can play in keeping some of these historical buildings around, we're happy to do it.
South Salt Lake Economic Development Director Randy Sant helped orchestrate the deal. He says the ability to create this kind of public-private partnership is crucial for the city's future economic development.
You look at any major project, I don't care if it's Adobe, I don't care if it's Shields, you look at it, there's a good public-private partnership involved in that because they don't happen without it.
The city will purchase the campus for $8.75 million, $8.4 of which will come from the Woodbury Corporation. Governor Gary Herbert will meet with Cache County officials today in Logan to talk about air quality. County officials requested the meeting with the governor to express their concerns about state plans to expand vehicle emissions testing. It comes at a time when the Utah Air Quality Board is taking public comment on plans to reduce air pollution in northern Utah. KUER's Andrea Smartin has more.
Cache County Executive Lynn Lemon says the majority of the people in his region do not want emissions testing on vehicles. That's why the county council voted against it. Lemon says the state should not impose this policy against the will of the county.
I hope that the governor, and I believe that he will agree that the county needs to agree to an emissions testing program if we're going to do that. We also hope that the Division of Air Quality will give serious consideration to alternatives.
Amanda Smith, the executive director of the Department of Environmental Quality, will be at the meeting with Cache County officials. Smith says the state has determined that emissions testing is the cheapest way to achieve reduction in pollution.
We have been working on this a while, and I would say our best technical minds came to the decision that an emissions test was the best route forward. But that being said, we are open to other possibilities if Cache County has something that they believe will meet those needs as well.
Cache County is planning a public meeting on October 9th to collect ideas for alternatives to emissions testing. The Utah Air Quality Board is taking public comment on the state implementation plan through the end of the month. The board must submit their plans by December 15th to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency for approval. The EPA determined that Cache County was not meeting federal air quality standards in December of 2009. Andrea Smartin, KUER News.
The Utah Supreme Court has ruled a polygamous church waited too long to challenge a court-ordered takeover of the trust that holds most of its members' property. The Attorney General's office says the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints took no action for years after it lost control in 2005 of the United Effort Plan, its common property trust. Yesterday's ruling will help settle conflicting decisions by state and federal judges over whether Utah had the legal authority to seize the trust. It's an odd thought, an atheist speaking to us from beyond the grave, but that's what Betsy Burton says is the premise of Mortality, a book by Christopher Hitchens published after his death.
Christopher Hitchens is at it again, this time from the grave. Famous, some would say infamous, for his dislike of religion, he kept careful note of the conversations and correspondence he had with the religious and with everyone else he knew from the day he was diagnosed with esophageal cancer. Ironically, it was on the very day he was launching what was to become a best-selling memoir, Hitch 22, that he experienced the first horrifying symptoms of the disease. He records his trip from the land of the well, quote, across a stark frontier to the land of malady, and with each step, he carries on his war against religious belief. With such wit, I'd laugh out loud as I read until I remembered he was dying, even as he wrote Mortality, did die, before the book was published. After reading the first part of Mortality, I was halfway convinced he might die laughing. Hitchens laughs at those who caution him about the afterlife, quoting Voltaire, who, when asked to renounce the devil, looked up from his deathbed and said, "This is no time to be making enemies." Next, Hitchens takes on the act of prayer, a laughing matter if ever there was one, according to him. Whether asking God for something selflessly or selfishly, you're actually insulting him by questioning the order of things. It's blasphemy, Hitchens tells us. He points out the same ironies in the act of passing the collection plate. Then, having dispensed with God and religion, he stops for a few pages to discuss cancer etiquette before going off on the saccharine book, The Last Lecture. In the end, however, Hitchens does not die laughing. More soberly and philosophically, he talks of losing his voice, literally, but in every writerly way as well. He questions everything he's ever believed, debunking even those few cliches in which he once had faith. He discusses not just pain, but the reaction of caregivers to it, his helplessness in their power, pointing out parallels to his experience with torture. Even as he weakens and his mind fragments, he continues to question, which is why Hitchens was always such a brilliant essayist, speaker, and writer, because right up to the end, he questioned everything.
And that is your KUER News Pod for Wednesday, October 3rd. For the latest news and updates from around the state, be sure to check us out online at KUER.org. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.